Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
Thank you. Well, this morning, I'd like us to turn over to Romans, the 5th chapter. And we're going to begin in the 12th verse, and I'd like to read through the end of the chapter. That is Romans chapter 5, 12 through 21. The Bible says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through the one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Christ, abound for many. And the free gift is not like the result of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so the great error of secular thought as it relates to the study of mankind is to disregard the fall of man and its many consequences. This is a source of great confusion and error. In large part, I believe that this is connected to our lack of concern for sin. How true it is that our time is much like the judges, that often repeated phrase, "There is no fear of God in the land, and everyone did what was right in his own sight." That is something that we might say is true of our own generation. However, as we turn to these words this morning, as we reflect upon our text and Paul's usage of the book of Genesis, we notice here that it took only one sin, just one transgression, to lead to the fall of the entire human race. And now that's something to meditate upon. That's something to ponder, the power and the greatness, the severity of sin, that the whole universe would fall out of order based on one act of rebellion. It is no more possible for us to understand the exceeding sinfulness of sin than it is for us to count the sand on the seashore. It's impossible for us to understand how heinous and how offensive and what an abomination sin is before a perfect and holy God. It is infinitely abhorrent to our Maker, one transgression. And we also understand that based on the punishment, ultimately the punishment for sin is eternal punishment. That should teach us something about how bad this offense is of sin before our Lord. And so as we consider Genesis this morning, there are a large number of scholars nowadays that would insist that Genesis is not a historical account. Adam and Eve and various characters within this creation narrative, they would say that these people never existed. And it's pretty clear as we read Paul and the New Testament and the whole of Scripture that this is the furthest thing from the mind of the Holy Spirit to suggest anything like this. It is necessary for Christians to accept the historicity of Genesis. It is the foundation of Christianity. It's the beginning of knowledge. It is the genesis of our understanding, and this is why Paul appeals to this man Adam and to this great beginning of all books. And the gospel itself is the continuation and it is the fulfillment of this narrative that was started all the way back in the book of Genesis. I've probably expressed before that I have a great love and a passion for gardening, and that was, I believe, given to me by my grandmother. And if you notice, it's very special that the first job that was given to man, which was given to Adam, was to tend the gardens of the Lord. And I believe that there is something special about gardening. There's a special way to relate with our Creator. There's nothing more enjoyable for me than to wake up early in the morning and to drink a cup of coffee as I go outside and I look at the garden. And I remember mornings of waking up early and walking through the garden and praying and witnessing creation and the different creatures and animals that are out early in the morning. All of this being said, if you're not aware, gardening is extremely challenging. There are a myriad of things to contend with, such as drought, such as diseases and pests and insects. And there are many large animals and birds that will come and destroy your plants. And I had trouble with deer. They love to eat my sweet potatoes, and that was always a little bit frustrating. And I had wild turkey that would come and eat my blackberries. And of course, there are weeds. And it was our custom growing up when grandparents would come over, either before we would share a meal together or afterwards, we would take a walk down to the garden and I would get to show them the different things that I was working on at the time. And it was just so much fun. I'll never forget one thing that my grandmother shared with me on one of these occasions. She said, "You know, William, the ground that you're working is cursed." And that hit me like a ton of bricks. I had never really connected the dots to realize that the world that we are living in is cursed, and it is a result of the original fall of Adam. And isn't this true? As we look around in every aspect of the world, we live in a fallen world, and we suffer because of the curse that entered into the world because of the first transgression of Adam. And my grandmother, she was referring to these words in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. "And to Adam he said," that is the Lord speaking, "because you listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And based on that interaction with my grandmother, I view the world differently, and I definitely view gardening differently from that encounter. And isn't it true that every problem that we face in this world is a result of the fall? In this room this morning, there are many of us who are suffering in various ways, and it is a result of the fall. As we mentioned earlier, the extreme evil that is beyond our comprehension in countries like Afghanistan, it is a result of the fall. The global crisis that we're currently experiencing with COVID-19 and the fear and confusion and division and sickness and even death that are associated with this plague are a result of the fall. And sometimes we respond like Cain as he was facing the results of his actions. He says, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." And sometimes it seems that way as we face the consequences and the suffering and the hurt and the disease and sickness and sorrow, death and pain, and most of all, the separation of God that is a result of the fall. And creation bears witness all around us to the severity of the consequences of sin. I want us to look at verse 14 as we look once more at our text this morning. The Bible says, "Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one to come." And so this expression here, Paul is clear that from the time period, from Adam, the beginning of creation, until Moses, which is a time period that lasted all the way until Christ, death reigned. And death here is associated and is connected to the idea of sin. The wages of sin are death. Sin and death are reigning during this time period, all the way leading to Christ. One of my favorite scriptures is found in Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 25. Here, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, he gives a contrast of what it looks like to view the sinful nature and the life by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we want to understand what something is, it's important to ask what it is not. And if you read old sermons, a lot of preachers from 200 years ago, it was the style for them to begin when they would enter a biblical subject to try to expound and explain. They would first say, "Let me tell you what it is not." And so that's what we get here, a wonderful contrast of what it is to be outside of Christ and what it looks like to be inside of Christ. And so this idea of death reigning from Adam all the way up until the time of Christ, I believe, is beautifully described in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I'd like to read this for us and think about death reigning. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those who are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And so here is the description here of death reigning and the sinful nature. "Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgy, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And so sin and death is reigning and has mastery over creation from the beginning of time all the way until the time of Jesus Christ. And so it's beautiful here how Jesus is compared to being like the first man, Adam. It's wonderful in the story of the Bible how Paul is bringing a summation and a fulfillment to this biblical narrative. He's tying in to creation, and he's saying that Jesus is the fulfillment to all that God has ever spoken and all that he has ever done. And in a sense, he is closing with finality what God is ultimately going to do in restoring the lost paradise that was lost through Adam. I'd like us now to look at verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Once more, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. I want you to consider this morning the ramifications once again, the size of the damage and the destruction and the catastrophe that was caused through this one act of sin. This one man rebelled against God, and it is though in the spiritual realm a nuclear bomb went off. The entire universe, the entire world was thrown into chaos and confusion, and death entered the world based on this one act of rebellion. And so Paul's argument here is that just as these great and terrible things happened as a result of the action of the first man, how much more, based on the one act of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, one act of righteousness, how much more are the foundations of the world shaken? And how much more are good things poured out on the sons of men? And so, remembering that first sin, you remember when Adam first sinned against God, he hid from God in fear to cover his shame and to cover his nakedness. How much more should we who have embraced Jesus Christ run to our Father with boldness, to approach Him, to come into His presence? How much more should we have the right to have unity and reconciliation in Christ? If the Lord covered the earth in wrath, and the waters covered the earth to destroy the world in the times of Noah, how much more under Christ will the waters of grace cover the earth to cleanse those who embrace Jesus Christ? If eternal wrath was manifested against lawbreakers and the unrighteous, how much more is the grace of God and the mercy of God revealed to those who receive Him? If those under the first covenant were slaves of sin, if death reigned in their life, how much more are those who have received the free gift of God to be set free and to experience power and grace and freedom and to reign in this life through the power of Jesus Christ? How much more should we be affected? And so I want you to understand that that is the sense of what Jesus has done. He has done far above what anyone could ever ask or imagine. Jesus has not just restored the Garden of Eden. He has not just placed man back in the garden and undone the wrong that was done through Adam, but He has done far more We have been adopted into the family of God. We have a hope of everlasting life in the presence of God. An eternal hope of glory has exceeded all of our expectations in every way. Much more has Jesus Christ and His work of grace affected and changed and radically affected the recipients of all the grace of God. And I want to ask you this question this morning. First, let's read verses 16 and 17 as we continue in Romans chapter 5. Verses 16 and 17. And the free gift is not like the result of the one man's sin. For the judgment following the one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of the one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundant grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And so this is the question, the wonderful question that I have for us this morning. This is what the text has put before our eyes. Does the Lord Jesus Christ reign within your heart? Do you reign in life? And is the following true as we continue in Galatians? Now, by contrast, we've looked at what it is for death to reign. Now let's look for what it is for life to reign within the heart of the believer. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And so this morning, do these qualities reign within your heart? Does the love of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus, live within you as He poured this love within your heart? Do you have this joy that can overcome the circumstances of life, that can overcome the temptations of the devil, that can overcome the hardship and the sufferings and the consequences of the fall? And do you have a hope of eternal glory that no amount of discouragement, no amount of Satan's arrows and attacks can ever quench that eternal hope that we have of heading into an eternal dwelling? As we consider this morning the fall and death entering the world, we're reminded that we are here today and we are gone tomorrow. We are reminded that this world is not our home, but we are citizens of an eternal city with foundations that cannot be moved, and that is where our heart is. And if we reign in this life, our mind is fixed upon these things. The mind that is fixed upon the flesh, it is death, but the mind that is fixed upon the Spirit is life. And I think it's amazing here, by contrast, there's so many things within this text that we could focus upon, but look at this last verse here. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the consequences of Adam's fall were that death entered the world. But how wonderful by comparison that the work of Jesus Christ leads to eternal life. How poetic, how beautiful, how wonderful are the promises of God. And I hope that this is your hope, and I hope that this is where your faith is placed this morning. And so I have this question for you as we close. Are you living in the time period of Adam until Moses? Is death reigning within your heart? Sin and death, do they have mastery over you? Or are you a slave of these things? Are you, or have you experienced the abundance of grace and life and power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the world and to be set free? Are you walking in freedom? If you are not this morning, you need to come to Christ. You need to believe on Him. You need to repent of your sins, and you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins in order that you might receive the forgiveness of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, in order that you might be raised to new life and walk all the days of your life after the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. If this is your desire, I would appeal to you to come forward. Do not delay to put Him on in baptism. If you have any other prayers of the church, I would encourage you to use this opportunity to come forward and to ask for prayers, and we would be delighted to pray for you as we stand and sing our invitational song.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our mind for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to You now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to You now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to You now to give You thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to You. We pray this money can be used wisely as You see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians. reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.
Yeah.
Beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally. Go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.